Dorothea there with Theodore. Dorothea, top of the right circle, reels it in, hands it off. Carlson shoots off the post and home!
From the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
Shoots, kick save, Fleury. Rebound loose, a shot, and no! It goes through Fleury for a goal! It's Tomas Hertl, his first goal of the night!
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Chris Chapman, live inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215. Home of the... Well, you've got more energy than the Edmonton Oilers in the Stanley Cup Final, Chapman. Well done. Good job.
Great observation.
That's later, Leon. That's later. Don't get ahead of yourself. We got great observations in hour number two. These are going to be pretty fun. Like, I was excited, frankly, to come in today and do great observations. It's going to be very heavily skewed toward the Florida Panthers, and rightfully so, because when you have a 3-0 series lead in the Stanley Cup Final, you're going to get all the praise, all the accolades that you deserve, especially from this show, and you don't have to twist my arm to talk about the Panthers as opposed to the Edmonton Oilers, who have been more or less a no-show in this series. I know Oilers fans will probably push back on that and say that Edmonton should have won Game 1 and that they were the better team at stages in game number three. Win the game then. Like, I'm so tired of hearing this deserve to win-o-meter. Like, this is going to be a rant to open up the show. I can't stand that line of thinking. We do this thing in hockey, and like, I'm guilty of it when it comes to the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm sure many of you listening here, if you're a Golden Knights fan, like, you will look at games where the Golden Knights dominate, right? From a shot clock perspective, from a possession metric perspective, and yet at the end of the game, they've lost. And you can talk yourself into it in the regular season by all means. Like, I don't see that there's necessarily a problem with that, but where it becomes an issue is when you're playing for the Stanley Cup. Where it becomes an issue is when you are in the Stanley Cup Final. You do not know if this is going to come back around for you in 5 years, 10 years. This might legitimately be the only opportunity that Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl have in the Stanley Cup Final in their career. Like, Leon's 10 years into this. Connor's 9 years into this. It's their first opportunity in the Cup Final in their careers, and it might be their last. And so when you start to sit here and say to yourself, well, we dominated possession in game number one, but Sergei Bobrovsky was really good. Well, it's unfortunate for you that Sergei Bobrovsky is a member of the Florida Panthers and that his ability to impact the game has a direct impact on who wins and loses. It's your fault you couldn't convert. And by the same metric, even if the Oilers were good in the first period yesterday, which they weren't better than Sergei Bobrovsky. At the end of the day, you know who wasn't better than Sergei Bobrovsky last night? Stuart Skinner. Nor was he better than Sergei Bobrovsky in game number one. And though I didn't want to pile on Stuart Skinner, and I don't really want to, he made a mistake. It happens. He's not as good of a goaltender as Sergei Bobrovsky. I'm not here to do that. But do not sit here for a minute and say that a 3-0 series lead for the Florida Panthers isn't how this series should go when the Oilers have done next to nothing offensively. I don't care about the possession metrics. I don't care about the shot clock when everything's coming from the outside, because the stars for the Oilers refuse to go to the dirty, hard areas to score. I don't want to hear about we deserved better. It doesn't hold weight here. Zach Hyman has nothing in this series. And that is the one player that you look at on the Oilers and you say to yourself, that's a guy that knows where to go. That's a guy that lives on the inside. That's a guy that will battle tooth and nail with the defenseman to make sure he is in the right place at the right time in front of the goaltender. And it hasn't been there. Like, the most impactful player, no joke, right now for the Edmonton Oilers, at least in game number three, might have been Corey Perry. He was all over Bobrovsky. If Corey Perry can do it, why can't Zach Hyman do it? Why can't Leon Draisaitl do it? Why can't Ryan Nugent Hopkins do it? I've talked about Zach Hyman. No, I don't expect Evan Bouchard to get to the front of the net, but you know what? Evan Bouchard can get his shot through. That hasn't happened either. The simple fact here, when you look at the Edmonton Oilers, you look at the Stanley Cup final, the reason why it is 3-0 isn't because the Oilers deserved better. It's because their stars are letting them down. You have nothing in terms of goals from Draisaitl, from McDavid, from Bouchard, from Hyman, from Ryan Nugent Hopkins. Those five guys are in the top 10 in playoff scoring, and they have no goals through three games of the Stanley Cup final. Now, the Edmonton Oilers, by extension, only have four goals in the Stanley Cup final. I'm going to read you who's scored them. Matthias Ekholm, Warren Fogle, Philip Broberg, and Ryan McLeod. The depth hasn't been the issue for the Edmonton Oilers. And we can, you know, even step back a series to the Dallas Stars. And we can look at who was doing the scoring for Dallas. And it wasn't the depth that abandoned the Stars. It was the high-end skill. It was Sagan going dry. It was Ben going dry. It was Wyatt Johnston going dry. That's what cost the Dallas Stars in the Western Conference Final, and it's the same thing right now that's costing the Edmonton Oilers. We talked about this in round number two against Vancouver when Edmonton was down in the series 3-2. If the Oilers couldn't turn it around, if they couldn't win that series in a cup or bust season, the Stars were going to wear it. The McDavids, the Draisaitls of the world, they were going to wear it. They're wearing this right now. Because if you get four goals over three games from your depth and you've got Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and the best power play in the postseason, how dare you be down 0-3 games? The Stars for the Oilers haven't shown up. It's that simple. That's why they are facing elimination tomorrow. Chapman?
I mean, that was really inspiring. It was really good. There's nothing in what you said that I could push back on. I mean, it's funny because I saw this. It's not funny, but it's funny. But there's this AI Paul Maurice press conference going around.
And those are my favorite.
I don't know if you've seen it, but by the way, Paul Maurice has like a great voice. Like he should be like the guy who narrates the movies and the coming attractions. Like when you go to the movie theater, I don't even know if people still go to the movie theater. It's kind of sad. But when you go to a movie and you've got the previews, Paul Maurice could be the guy who's telling you, Daredevil. Wait, that was
he's
a terrible
movie.
That was a
he's
terrible
movie voice guy.
Yes, movie yeah, voice movie guy voice Paul guy. Maurice, right? He's got a career post hockey movie guy.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
The AI Paul Maurice going around talking about an elite goaltender that Sergei Bobrovsky is. By the way, if you've seen it and you didn't know it's AI, it's fake. Okay, Paul Maurice really did not say that Stuart Skinner looked like Swiss cheese, but that AI is about as accurate of a depiction of what we've seen in this series as you can get, right? Sergei Bobrovsky, at every moment that Edmonton looked like they were going to find a way to get back into this game, like perfect example, last night, it's 4-3.
Yeah.
Sergei Bobrovsky comes up with a point-blank save right in front of the net at the most crucial point in the game. He mm-hmm. is an elite, world-class goalie. He's got the hardware to show it. He's probably going to add a Conn Smythe to those Vezina trophies that he's got. And Stuart Skinner, I mean, he didn't step up like he did in the Dallas series. And I thought he was going to carry it over. He was okay in game one. He hasn't been great in the other two games. But you're right. Where are the superstars in this series for the Edmonton Oilers? Like, you rattled off the guys who had the goals, and I know McDavid's mm-hmm. had a couple of assists last night, but like when but none of them are to give the Oilers the lead. None of them are game winning plays by Connor McDavid. He's making these plays when they're down. And I guess that's better than him not making plays at all, but mm-hmm. you need him to go out and score two goals before the Panthers can even find their game, before they're even making three, but before their fans are even in the seats, you need to get out there. And McDavid and Draisaitl have to have a couple of goals. Otherwise, you're done. And what we're seeing is, you know, I tweeted it out, and the Florida Panthers, they shut down. You look at the players that they did not allow to score a goal at 5-on-5 mm-hmm. in any of yeah. their – like, you look at the names, and these are yeah. the elite of the elite players in the NHL. Pasternak. Right, the mm-hmm. guy is a goal scoring machine. Nothing 5-on-5. Nikita Kucherov,
yeah.
nothing 5-on-5. Mika Zibanejad, nothing 5-on-5. Now you're looking at this series, Draisaitl, McDavid. They don't even have goals in this series, let alone 5-on-5. So the Florida Panthers defensively have done a number, not only in this series, but from the start of the playoffs. They have been the best team. And I know they were down a couple times, but they've picked themselves up, and they always seem to find a way. And that's what they did last night. That game was over at 4-1, and you got a little bit of a push from Edmonton. But mm-hmm. it was a lucky goal, and I'll call it what it is, by Broberg, because it...
Yeah.
It
was going wide.
Yeah, it was going wide, and it hits a defender's arm and goes under Bobrovsky's yeah. shoulder and in. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the third goal they scored, it was a great play. Right, like, there's just no other way. It was an amazing tip in front of the net. Bobrovsky had no chance. But other than that, like, what have the Oilers done? They have done absolutely nothing. And I texted you last night because mm-hmm. I thought they were gonna luck out when I think it was Barkov hit the iron on that shot from like 180 feet away, and it hit the iron. I'm like, oh man, that should have been it. Like 2 inches to the right, and it's 5-3, and the game's over. And I kept thinking Edmonton's gonna—they're gonna get lucky. Something is gonna break their way. They're gonna tie this game. They're gonna win it in overtime, and all of a sudden they're gonna have life. And no, no. Florida clamped down.
Well, I mean, they didn't even have to like ice the game with an empty netter.
No,
they just had Aaron Ekblad. All he did, Aaron Ekblad, all he did, right? He takes the puck into the corner, and you're not getting it off the wall.
Yeah,
you're not getting it off the wall for the rest of the game.
Like, that's determination.
That's what the Panthers do.
That's work.
And so, like, that's winning hockey. That's yeah. championship hockey.
Yep.
That is a team that understands what their job is and how they're going to do it. That is the identity of the Florida Panthers. And their identity was all over that game last night. Like, you look at the goal from Sam Bennett, and it is Matthew Tkachuk on the forecheck just causing all kinds of havoc. And then it's an elite-level, high IQ pass and a great finish from Sam Bennett. Sasha Barkov, like, we're going to sing the praises of Alexander Barkov throughout the next hour and 45 minutes because he's that good. He factors into my great observations, and I'm going to make the case for why I think he's one of the best in the league right now. But he makes a defensive play in his own zone, and then he gets on his horse, and then he finishes it off with a beautiful, phenomenal shot past Stuart Skinner. And then you factor in Aaron Ekblad. He eats a shot and looks like he is in a lot of pain. And then what's he do? Gets right back on the ice, and he closes it out by holding the puck on the wall. And the Edmonton Oilers compete cannot match one player from the Florida Panthers. They just can't. And so when you look at that, I know it was closer than it should have been in the end. I give the Oilers a lot of credit, not so much Leon Draisaitl, but Connor McDavid, as you mentioned, a couple assists. Like, he was at least moving in the right direction for Edmonton. I give their role players, I give their depth players a lot of credit for not just rolling over in that game last night. But even at 4-3, I wasn't concerned that the Oilers were going to tie the game. Even when Barkov missed the empty net, I wasn't concerned that the Oilers were going to tie the game because the Panthers had a lead, they knew what they needed to do, and they just had to clamp down. That's what they did.
Yeah, you talk about
that's what they did.
You talk about the play by Ekblad, and there's teams that might try to put the puck in the open net, right? Like rather than just ice that game, you know what? You're not taking this puck from me. I have it in the corner. There's teams that might try to send it out to center ice, might try to get cute, do something funny, and it may lead to a turnover. But the way that the Panthers finished that game, like that was what they're all about. Like I've been on this team all year. I love the way that they played. I thought they were not going to beat the Golden Knights, but what they did in the playoffs last year was impressive. And they carried it over into the regular season, and they were, you know what they were like? They kind of reminded me of the team that said, you know what, we don't need to win the division. We know what it takes to get to a Stanley Cup final, but we don't know what it takes to win the Stanley Cup final, but we think we know. So we're not going to push down the stretch. We've got our playoff spot. We think we're better than everyone in the East, and we're going to prove it. We're going to go back. Mm-hmm. But because we didn't push, we feel like we've got a little bit extra in the tank. But I mean, they're the best team in the NHL. I mean, there's zero doubt in my mind that Paul Maurice has done the best job of any coach in the league this year. And he's got the players, he's got them. I heard a comment that he made, and I don't remember if it was yesterday or if it was today, but someone asked him about the team buying in, and he made a comment about coaches don't buy in. Right? Like it's not the coach that buys in. It's the players on the team that buy in. And these guys were bought in day one. They showed up to camp. They knew what they wanted to do. Like, he's a great soundbite. But, like, what I like about him is he's so thoughtful in what he says. But there's always that added touch of, man, this guy's like, he's like one of us. Like, he's a regular guy when you hear him talk. Like, he doesn't really talk in coach speak. He says how he feels, but he's really good about it. Like when I heard that clip, I'm like, man, I've never really thought about that. Like, yeah, the coach doesn't buy in. It's the players who have to buy into the coach.
Well, and you said they bought in day one. They bought in June 14th, 2023. That's when the Florida Panthers bought in, right? Like, that's when the Florida Panthers started thinking about this moment. That's when the Florida Panthers started thinking about what they would do differently if they got back to that stage. You lose a Stanley Cup, it stings. It hurts. It is tough to get back there after losing, but the Florida Panthers did it. And there was really no point during the regular season where I thought Florida was ever going to be in danger of missing the playoffs. There was no point in the regular season where I thought the Panthers weren't one of the best teams out of the East. And as kind of things progressed in the later stage of the season, I felt the Panthers were coming out of the East. They were just too good. They were too bought in. They were too comfortable in their own skin to not get back to this stage and force a different outcome. Their buy-in didn't start in game one of the regular season. It didn't start in preseason. It started June 14th, 2023. It started right after they lost to the Vegas Golden Knights last year.
Yeah, I think that is apropos. Like, listen, we want to get back here. And when you hear the comments of Paul Maurice and the way he talks about the leadership on his team,
yeah,
like, I'm going to play it in the rejoin, but there's a comment that he makes about Sasha Barkov, and it's phenomenal. But I want you to listen to what he says at the end about rookies, and
I know what you're talking about.
It's phenomenal. Yeah. We talked about, is there going to be a hangover for the Golden Knights? Will there be a hangover? Well, generally, the team that loses a Stanley Cup final, there's a hangover there too. And if you remember year two, when the Golden Knights, they came out slow in year two. Like, they're maybe not necessarily a hangover, but they didn't start out. Like, I think their first 20 games, I think they were right around 500. Mm-hmm. So there's always a little bit of a slow start for teams that lose the Stanley Cup final. I mean, look, the Montreal Canadiens have not been back. Even in the playoffs, they haven't been back.
Well, that was an anomaly.
It was a fluke.
Let me tell you why it's different for Florida. They were robbed in a lot of ways from really competing in that series last year. Now, I'm not taking anything away from the Golden Knights, but we all know Florida was pretty banged up, right? Like, Matthew Tkachuk cracked his sternum, didn't play the final couple of games in that series. Like, there were injuries. Aaron Ekblad was injured that they had to kind of play through in certain scenarios, right? And I think a lot of people around that organization, the Florida Panthers specifically, will tell you that their run to the Cup final took so much out of them that in a lot of ways, that series against the Golden Knights was over before it started, right? The Golden Knights were healthy. The Golden Knights were on a completely different level than the Florida Panthers. And it's almost like you get there and then you realize you've got to expend more energy that you just don't have, right? Like, you expend every ounce of energy to get to the Stanley Cup final. You are playing through things all the way through three rounds, and then there's another round to go. And a team like the Golden Knights, who've been deep before, a team like the Golden Knights, who have lost in a Stanley Cup final before and know what that feels like, they were not going to be denied last year. And I think Florida, in a lot of ways, they're like Vegas in that regard, in that they didn't feel last year like they had what it took to go another round. They lose five games, and they're trounced in game five. I think that motivating factor for them was, we weren't able to express how good of a team we were at the greatest stage last year. We are not going to get back there and do the same thing. We're going to get back there. We're going to know what it takes. We're going to know what that reserve needs to look like, and we're going to get the job done.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned, I mean, remember the stories about Matthew Tkachuk last year, how mm-hmm. his teammates had to dress him because he was so broken down and beaten up that he couldn't even get himself dressed. So there is that. And then you factor in, they lost that game five in maybe the most humiliating fashion that a team has ever lost a series or a Stanley Cup clinching game. I mean, it was the one of the worst ever. And certainly you have to think that was in the back of the guys' minds when they showed up for training camp this year. Like, you know what? We don't ever want to experience that ever again. We don't mm-hmm. ever want our season to end that way. And you think about this organization and how far they've come in just a few years. I mean, this was a team that we would joke about on this show only having 800 fans at a preseason sure. game. Yeah. Like, they were, and I used to be the guy who would get on fans, oh, you show up when the team is good and you don't show up when they stink. But the Panthers never gave anybody any reason to show up. Like, they just weren't good, and they weren't committed to being good. And then there was a change in the philosophy of the organization, and they mentioned a guy whose name I won't name to be their coach. And that was the beginning, because whatever sure. you think about that guy, he's a winner. He's a winner in terms of production on the ice. Whatever went on behind the scenes, it's disgusting. And
look, here's the deal. Joel Quenneville went to Florida and changed the direction of that franchise.
It was a cultural shift.
Yes.
And Andrew Burnett sure. took over, won the President's Trophy, probably should have been hired, but in hindsight, they made the right decision.
See, that's the thing. The Florida Panthers would not be here
if they had
today
hired Bruno.
If they went with Andrew Brunette, and I'm not sitting here saying Brunette's not a good coach, but it was offense, 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 offense all the time. It was sacrificing defense for the sake of offense. They were the highest scoring team in the regular season that year. They won the President's Trophy, and it all came crashing down because they were bad defensively in the playoffs against Tampa.
And there was another moment in there where this team got serious, and it was the day that they traded Jonathan Huberdeau for Matthew Tkachuk. Like, to me, that's a bold move because Huberdeau had produced for you. He was a high-value player for the organization, but they realized that Matthew Tkachuk was better. And they took advantage of the fact that they knew that Matthew Tkachuk wanted out of Calgary, and they made a bold move. I don't think there was any – like, sometimes you make a trade and there's a gamble. Like, that was one of those moves where you're like, that's a winning move. Like, that was a brilliant move because Matthew Tkachuk, if fans remember in those Calgary days, he was a nuisance every time the Flames came to T-Mobile Arena. Like, he was just a guy where you watch him and you're like, man, if he was on my team, I'd walk around with his jersey. But because he plays for a team in the division, I can't stand him. But like that move, that signified we are committed to trying to win.
Yeah. Well, it was getting the right player installed into this team, understanding the direction you were trying to go. Now, here's the question that I have for you, right? Because it's no question the Florida Panthers had to lose before they could win. And listen, I get it. It's only 3-0. They still got to win another game. They've got four opportunities to do so. I don't believe the Edmonton Oilers are going to come back in this series, but it's not over yet, so we can't sing their praises as champions just yet. It's not official until it's official, and it could happen as early as tomorrow. But do you believe that that's the same route for the Edmonton Oilers? Meaning, do you think this version of Edmonton can do next year, 2 years, whatever it might be, what the Florida Panthers were able to do last year? If Edmonton loses this series, if it's a sweep, if it happens in five games, if Edmonton drops this series the way that they're playing right now with no production from their stars, do you believe that can fuel them to another level in the coming years?
No, I don't.
Wow. That was quick.
And I'll tell you, well, I was thinking about it while you were asking me and while we were talking about Florida getting back, but
yeah.
It's going to sound bad, but I don't think there was any doubt last year that the Florida Panthers were the best team in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. They had won the President's Trophy the year before. They had dealt with some injuries during the season last year, and they were, unfortunately for the Boston Bruins, the 8th seed, but I don't think Edmonton was the best team in the West. In fact, I don't even think they were the second best team in the West. I don't think that there's room for them to improve. Like, I don't think they could, unless they do something unbelievably drastic, I don't think they can get better in the offseason.
I understand what you're saying because I've thought about this quite a bit. They played against Cam Talbot and Big Save Dave Riddick in round number one. They played against Archer Shelovs in round number two.
And needed seven games to beat him.
And they needed seven games to beat him. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but I am, and I kind of believe it. If Thatcher Demko was healthy, I don't think the Oilers get past the second round.
No, I don't think so.
I think we're talking about another scenario where the Edmonton Oilers have all this promise, the Edmonton Oilers have all these points from their superstars, and yet their goaltender's not as good as the other guy. Thatcher Demko steals you a game, and all of a sudden you're looking at an early offseason, and then who knows what happens from there? Like, maybe Dallas gets through, and maybe we actually have a series that's competitive as opposed to what we have through the first three games of the Stanley Cup final. But I think your point's valid in that there's doubt as to whether or not the Edmonton Oilers were the best team coming out of the West. They got there. You can't take it away from them. But if the Golden Knights didn't have to go across to the Central Division to play Dallas, and you had Vegas and Edmonton in round number two, all bets are off there.
I don't think they would have beaten Vegas.
Well, no, because like the Golden Knights had really strong goaltending in round number one. Like I know a lot of people are going to get all up in arms about that, but Aiden Hill was fantastic when he got back in. Logan Thompson gave you some great games. I think early on, the Oilers were susceptible to losing if they ran into good goaltending. And I think the draw, the way things worked out in the West, helped the Oilers get to this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, LA, they could go out and get better. Mm-hmm. Like they have assets that they could trade away and improve. You have to think the Golden Knights are going to be right there. I don't know so much about Vancouver, right? There's going to be some questions going into next season. Like, can they repeat? But, like, yeah, they're a playoff team. They should be. But I just don't know if like I said, I think had they played Vegas in the first round, I think they would have lost in the first round. I think, unfortunately for Vegas, the only team that could have beaten them in the Western Conference was the team that they played.
I'd agree with that. We're up against it. We've gone a little bit late, so we're going to take a break, come back with more on the VGK Insider Show. VGK Insider Show rolling along here on a Friday. It's Ryan Wallace and Chris Chapman with you. The Florida Panthers have a 3-0 series lead in the Stanley Cup Final. That means that they can complete the sweep tomorrow of the Edmonton Oilers and make it a very tidy 4-game series. And everyone, myself included, can stop complaining about, you know, whether or not the parade is going to butt right up to the NHL awards and the draft and free agency and all of that. Give everybody kind of a week to breathe to see what would happen in Sunrise should the Florida Panthers win the Stanley Cup. But there's one more victory they need before this conversation can really take hold, but we don't have a show tomorrow, so I'm going to do it right now. Oftentimes, we talk about the importance, right, of the Stanley Cup handoff. We know how important it can be for a team, for an organization to recognize either key cornerstone players that have been around for a long time, veterans that have played in the league for a long, long, long time that have not won a Stanley Cup. And so a lot of focus, a lot of energy, a lot of thought does go into who gets the cup next. We know if the Florida Panthers are to win tomorrow, Alexander Barkov will be the first Florida Panther ever to touch the Stanley Cup. He will lift it. He will have his skate. He will have his twirl. Who gets it next, Chapman? That's the question.
That is a good one. So I have to look at their roster, and I would imagine that the next guy to touch it would probably be Sergei Bobrovsky.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Okay, so
go ahead. I think, you know, we talked about guys legitimizing franchises, and he was a guy who left Columbus as a Vezina Trophy winner, and he signed multiple Vezina Trophy winner, and he signed with Florida for this massive contract. And, you know, we kind of poo-pooed and laughed at it for a couple of years. But he was the guy who maybe set the wheels in motion for this team to take things a little more serious. I think either him or maybe Aaron Ekblad. Because I know Ekblad was a really high draft pick. He's been with the organization for a long time. But I would venture to guess either Bobrovsky or Ekblad would be the second guy to touch it.
All right. So I'm going to be the contrarian here for just a moment. And I would venture to guess it's probably going to be Bobrovsky or Ekblad for the reasons that you mentioned, right? Like Aaron Ekblad has been there for a very long time. Aaron Ekblad was a high draft pick and a player that you bring into the organization that you expect can lead you to prominence in the same way that you look at a Sasha Barkov, right? Like that's the guy that helps you move this franchise in the right direction. He has seen the highest highs. He's seen the lowest lows, and he's been a mainstay with the Panthers. So that's definitely not a bad decision. He wears an A. He's an alternate captain. Like that all kind of tracks for me. Bobrovsky, you're right on the money. Like a lot of people looked at that contract and it was just like, oh, okay, it's the retirement contract. It's the not what can you do for me. It's what have you done already. It's the legacy contract, so to speak. It's the retirement contract, so to speak. And I think a lot of people looked at that contract and didn't think it would ever come to a point where it was worth it. If Sergei Bobrovsky gives you one more win, it's worth it all day long, every day of the week. And so that's certainly a player that comes front of mind for me. I like the idea of the old guy without a cup, right? Like there are usually one or two on every single team. And like Bobrovsky to me would qualify as an old guy without a cup, right? Like he's 35 years old. He's never won a Stanley Cup. He's been close a couple of times, but like at least Bobrovsky's been in the mix in the playoffs for long stretches in his career. The same can't be said for Kyle Okposo. Here's the crazy thing about Kyle Okposo. He's got over 1,000 games in the National Hockey League, former captain of the Buffalo Sabres. Like, this is a guy who played his first foray into playoff hockey was in 2012-13 with the New York Islanders. And he made the playoffs 3 years in a row with the Islanders. Then he goes to Buffalo, expecting that things are going to move in the right direction. You don't sign an eight-year deal with a team expecting to not make the playoffs. You just don't do that.
Right.
And he never did. And so when you look at Okposo's entire career, he has only played in the playoffs 4 seasons. 38 total playoff games in his career. And we're talking about a guy that's played a long, long, long time. So when you look at it from that perspective, this is the best chance Kyle Okposo's had in his career to go deep, to win. He had a trade facilitated to get him to this destination. He has been a mainstay for the Florida Panthers on their fourth line that has outplayed and been better than the Edmonton Oilers' bottom of the lineup. And at times, they have won shifts against McDavid, against Draisaitl. He's had a couple of really good looks. I think given what he's been through in his career, given the length of his career and the type of professional that he is coming into this organization and just saying, whatever you need, I'm your guy, I think Kyle Okposo is probably going to be pretty high up there in terms of those handoffs. It's not quite Ray Bourque, but it's similar in that respect in that this is a guy who's done everything right in his career. He's never really had a fair shake, a legit shot to make it all the way to the Cup final. He's there, and if anyone deserves it, it's him.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I like it because I think it certainly gives you there's validity to it. And for him, he's a guy who has played a long time in this league and never, you know, he experienced a lot of losing. You know, Florida has a couple of guys like that because they have another old guy, and I know your brain may go to Oliver Ekman-Larsson, but that wasn't the guy I was thinking of. They have another guy who's been in the league a long time and actually was an original draft pick of the Florida Panthers, found his way to a couple of other places, played in Winnipeg. I think that's where he probably had the best years of his career. But Dmitry Kulikov is a guy who has been in the league a long time. He's been in the league so long that when he was born, and he's Russian, but he was born in Russia, it was still the Soviet Union. That's how long ago, you know, that's how long Dmitry Kulikov has been playing in the league. He won't be the first or second guy, but for a guy like that who has put in a lot of time and just the work to get to this point, you have to think he's going to be pretty high up there as well. Like I said, he was an original draft pick of the Florida Panthers before he bounced around a little bit and found his way back. So it'll be cool for him, too, I would imagine, because I don't think there's a lot of guys who have careers like that where they're drafted by a team and, you know, he made the playoffs early in his career with them. But like you look and there was a lot of inconsistency in those years. And then he finds his way back to Florida. It's kind of cool. It's a cool story.
And the other name I'll throw in there is Matthew Tkachuk. Now, generally speaking, like when you think about the handoff of the Stanley Cup, it usually goes captain, alternate. Obviously, the Golden Knights kind of threw that tradition out the window to a degree in that it went captain, original misfits, and then you go from there.
Right.
Perfect understanding of the moment from Vegas last year, Mark Stone last year. And, you know, Matthew Tkachuk to me is a guy that even if he wasn't an alternate captain, would probably be high on the list in terms of that first initial handoff, because he has defined this organization since the trade. Like, he has been the superstar. As good as Sasha Barkov is, the personality of Matthew Tkachuk is going to garner a lot of attention, probably more attention than it should at times. But he's the crossover success. He's the guy that you can put on the magazines and the video game covers and all of that, and he can transcend the sport. While Barkov might be their most important player, their most impactful player, Matthew Tkachuk is probably their most successful in terms of marketing and growing the game. But what Matthew Tkachuk has done in terms of his career with Florida is he's installed the bite, the nastiness, the compete, the playoff pedigree, the need and the want and the desire to be more than just regular season types of players. And it's no surprise to me that when you bring that sandpaper in, you go far in the playoffs. And so when you look at Matthew Tkachuk since the trade, all he's done is take his team to a Stanley Cup final in each of those two seasons. So if you're talking about high up on the list in terms of that handoff, Matthew Tkachuk is right there.
Yeah, absolutely he is. You know, I mean, again, maybe not number one or number two, but he's definitely going to probably be in the first five guys to touch it.
So you think it's Ekblad and Bobrovsky as the next two, right?
Yeah, I think it'll be Bobrovsky to Ekblad.
Yeah, I think they should go Bob. I really do. I think it should be Barkov, Bobrovsky, Ekblad, Tkachuk, Okposo. Like, if I were creating the first five, that's the direction that I would go.
Yeah, Okposo's got to be up there. 35.
17 years in the league.
That's unbelievable.
17 years, and he's only played in the playoffs four times. It's unreal.
It truly is. It's unreal. I mean, that's a lot. That's a long time to be on a losing team.
It really is. We'll take a break and come back, set up hour number two next on the VGK Insider Show. That was Jeff Merrick and Elliot Friedman from the 32 Thoughts podcast. And they might be talking about a player that factors heavily into my great observations. I'm telling you right now, the world is not paying enough attention to Gustav Forsling. And this series has opened up, I think, a lot of people's eyes as to just how good he is. The fact that he was a waiver wire pickup is even more ridiculous. But Gustav Forsling has been a key component in the cog that is the Florida Panthers. And the Florida Panthers, as you'll come to find out shortly, are the best defensive team in hockey. Not just in the playoffs, regular season. This team, their superpower is defensive hockey. They are beyond good. They understand their assignments. I don't think you could look at anybody better than Gustav Forsling to understand that. Great observations from Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. That's coming up in hour number two of the VGK Insider Show.